and end with a O-R-N. And I'm a major player in the film industry. What am I?
Really?
That's the riddle.
I'm knowing it's not porn, so what is it?
Popcorn.
Wow.
Episode 5 of the Up Podcast. I'm Will.
And this is Teresa.
How you doing, Teresa?
I'm good.
How are you? You good?
I am.
Okay.
How are you?
How was your weekend?
Pretty good. Got a lot of rest.
Did a whole bunch of nothing?
Yep.
Correct. Same here. Watched football all weekend. Didn't want to do shit. You ready to get into it?
Yep.
Weekly review segment. Let's go.
About a week ago,
Why you bringing up old shit?
What the hell is going on?
Weekly
review time.
Okay, so Hosea Sanchez from the game. He played as Malik. Recently came out and talked on being molested by one of his friend's fathers at the age of 14. Malik's mother was a single parent, and so his friend's father was pretty much like a father figure. He kind of, took advantage of Malik, I guess, not really having a father in the home and trying to be that figure. And he would bring him home some days, and he would talk to him about girls and try to see, if he was sexually active, find out what, if the girls liked him or why the girls liked him. And so he kind of, approached it talking about the size of his anatomy, trying to make sure if that was the reason why the girls were after him. So he started off that way. Then later on, he brought him home one time, but he never did it in front of his friend or any of the other friends. So he didn't do it in front of his son. Mm-hmm. So one day when they were along, he was bringing him home. He went down on him, and he told him that it was oral sex and it's not real sex. So, he didn't have sex. And he was just pretty much like, don't tell anybody. They're not going to believe you. And said that he was a powerful man, so he'll ruin his life.
That's tough, bro. I think 14, like, that man was still a child, bro.
Yeah.
That shit. It's sad that he had to live with that for that long. I mean, just going about life every day with that on you. Probably having to see him, growing up with his son and being best friends with his son. Like, you probably have to be around him. Almost every other day, he's a father figure, so excuse me. I just know shit like that, fucks with people's head because he is a father figure, so in one aspect you have love for him, but on the other side of it, he's molesting and assaulting you, so that has to be tough. I'm glad he came out, though. I don't think that predators should live a free life and get away with, just living a regular life while their victims are struggling.
Yeah, so. He did. He did a very lengthy post. He put out the man's name and everything. So, and he said this was something that he blocked out of his mind, since it happened. It just came back to him maybe a year ago. And he said he started to write it up a few times and he'll go back and delete it. But this time he actually let it go through and he posted. And I'm just glad that he did. So, I know that has to be freeing.
And I can believe that because, when something is bothering you, just working on you that much, you try to get it out your head and you try to get past it and just try to live life regular. But at some point, I think that until you get that out, you'll never be regular. It'll always kind of show its head here and there and just bother you at a certain point of time. So I'm glad he got that off his chest. So
yeah. And hopefully it helps someone.
I mean, I think it always does when you have celebrities who are going through things that, you know, regular people every day are going through too. And they share their stories. I think sometimes people feel alone in their battles and their struggles. So, you know, that's dope. What else you got?
Okay, so we spoke on Malik Yoba last week and his attraction to trans women. Well, the child's mother, his children's mother, came out and basically said that she felt that he was preparing the world through his social media for his, I guess, coming out saying that he's attracted to trans women, and also that he's now dating a trans woman, but never prepared the children for it, and now they're dealing with it. So, yeah.
So, we had this conversation before we started recording, and I say that if the kids are older kids, then they don't need a heads up. But if they are younger kids, then, I mean, I get it. But, I don't know. I just feel like Malik Yoba is his own man, and what he chooses to lay down with is his own business. I don't think older kids should have their rights or no.
Okay.
I mean, younger kids, cool. I feel like you should prepare your younger kids to deal with what might come their way as far as bullies and just stupid ass people, but older kids?
I don't know. I think I kind of disagree. I think with younger kids, it doesn't matter.
Hmm?
I'm going to tell you why. Because when I'm saying younger kids, I'm thinking like elementary. Younger kids, no. Because no children should be coming to them with that information anyway.
When I say younger kids, I'm talking like 17 or under. If they're still in like grade school.
But I think in middle school and high school, that's a conversation that you have with your children because they're learning things. They're learning new things.
I agree with you.
But that's what I'm saying. So like, I do think a conversation should be had when you're in middle and high school, because you start talking about things like that anyway. In elementary school, that's too heavy of a topic.
I don't think so though, because
for a child,
I think that kids these days are cruel, and like we think that kids are, you know, naive and don't know things, but they.
I'm not saying that they don't in elementary school, but I just feel that it wouldn't be as. Because for the most part, a lot of children coming up now, they're not too judgmental. You do have some kids that are judgmental, but like my child, for I'll use her as a demonstration. Hayden is one of those kids that is like, let people be who they are, let people do what they want. And I think that's the kind of generation is coming up now.
I think it's becoming more of that. I don't think the whole generation is like that.
No. I'm not saying all. But I think, you know, they're to a point, and she's in middle school. So that's what I'm saying. Like, you have the middle school and the high school kids that understand it a little bit more than an elementary school child will. Not saying that all of them won't. Because some of them, you know, they know too much. But, yeah.
I get it. I think if they're in grade school, you should talk to them, regardless of what grade. If they out of school, hey, get it how you live.
I mean, yeah, if they out of school, then, you know, you didn't already talk to them. They already know about it. So, there's nothing to tell. But, I mean, we don't know for sure the age ranges of these children or what was brought to them, what they're dealing with. I don't know. But
Malik Yoba felt like he had to speak his piece. And
but, you know, they also came out with the two women, that the trans women that came out and said that he's only doing this as damage control.
And I believe all of that.
And they were supposedly underage when he dealt with them, so.
Hey, man. Much love to you. Hope you get right with that. I'm just not here for predators, bro.
Yeah. I mean, and that's how he's looking right now, yeah. According to, allegedly, anyway, so.
I was trying to, like, give him, like, a little leeway, because I think that if you are a sex worker, which I have nothing against sex workers, I just feel like if you're a sex worker and, you know, if he didn't know the age of the worker, then that's different. But if he kept on going back, knowing her age and abusing her, all that other shit, much love to you, dog. Hope you're right.
Well, I know the first one, they said that he knew the age. Yeah. So.
That's why I say I hope you're right there. I mean,
yeah.
Put his ass in prison with the rest of them. What else you got?
Azealia Banks, talking on, on Lizzo.
What's funny is, I think Azealia Banks, in so many words, said what I said on the other podcast about Lizzo. I just think that her words come with, like, half truth, half hate. I don't agree with how she said it, and I don't even agree with half of what she said. I just agree that, I just feel like they, like, Lizzo is doing a lot for a little. Like, I'm not gonna call it cooning or buffoonery. I just think that she's making, like, a huge show. Like, she's, like, almost like a character. And I think she finally just got her number one. I mean, that's cool. That's a dope accomplishment. But, like, why does it take for her to be boisterous and loud?
I mean, it goes back to another show when I was saying that I feel like this. No, that was the same show when we were talking about Lizzo, and I was saying that I don't think that she's acting anything opposite of who she is now. But I said that, you know, I also said that I feel that the industry is getting to a place to where people don't have to look a certain way or be a certain way to make it. And
I agree.
I feel like her and Cardi, which is interesting because Azealia used Cardi as an example as well. They became popular off of being, I guess, who they are. I don't know. I feel like Lizzo is just being herself. I also feel Lizzo is very talented.
I think she is very talented. I also think that Lizzo has just a vibrant energy about herself. But I don't think everything she does is just her being her. I think some of the times, like, it's a little bit over the top for a reason. And it's just not my cup of tea.
I mean, that's how I feel with Cardi. I feel like she's over the top, but.
But I don't think Cardi is over the top purposely. I think that she's just an over the top person.
Now, see, that's the thing. That's how I feel about Lizzo. I feel like Lizzo is just being Lizzo. Now, with Cardi, I do think Cardi's being Cardi. However, I think she's being extra a lot of the time, too.
Yeah.
So I guess, I don't know. I guess it's just perspective on it. I don't know. But hey, it is what it is.
What else you got, bro? I feel like shit, by the way.
Yeah, I see you over there with your towel.
Yeah.
Okay, so Nicki Minaj came out saying that she's retiring. What do you think on that to start a family?
I think, and you know, I'm a, you might as well call me a Barb or whatever you want to call it. I'm a huge Nicki Minaj fan. I think at this point, bro, like, she's just, I don't want to call her a clout chaser. I just think that she's just putting out things to get a reaction.
I don't. I think she has been hinting at things.
But why do you need to tell us that?
Why not tell people that she's about to retire?
Well, she's not retiring. There was nothing about me like...
I can see her retiring.
You believe she's on the music. Retire?
I think she'll eventually come back, but I think I can see her retiring on the music aspect of it.
What else is she
going to
do?
She act? Model.
Model what?
She just got a line with Fendi. And, Lord. Yeah. She's
not going to model a damn thing.
She's, have you, do you follow her on Instagram?
I follow her on Twitter.
Okay, well, she just posted, like, right after she said she was retiring, she just posted pretty much and said that she has a Fendi line coming out.
That's cool. I feel like that's dope.
But that's what I'm saying. So I don't think she's, I don't think she, at this point, dude, how much money, more money does she need? She has all this outside income coming in. She don't necessarily just need that music money.
My G, Nicki Minaj is a rapper. First.
Okay.
So, in order to keep, like, I feel like in order to keep her celebrity, she has to be Nicki Minaj first. And Nicki Minaj is a rapper, not a person who models or bring out.
I'm just saying.
Lines with Fendi.
She has the clothing. She has the Moscato. She has Queen Radio. And I'm pretty sure some other things lined up.
At the end of the day, like, that shit gonna get old because that's not how you started. Look at Rihanna.
But like I said,
Rihanna is doing makeup, she's doing lingerie, she's doing shoes, she's doing all this shit. And every day people ask her.
But Rihanna's still making money. So
true, but eventually that shit is gonna die because at your core, you are a pop artist.
But Rihanna was still able to make it as one of the highest paid artists without putting
that
out an album.
I'm not saying she won't make money.
But it doesn't. Maybe she's, you know, they get to a point where they don't necessarily need the fame. You don't really need the fame
anymore.
You don't
think Nicki Minaj want the fame?
I think with all the negativity that she's getting, and I think I honestly feel she does not want to retire. I feel that she is doing it because she's tired of defending herself.
I think that if Nicki Minaj was serious about retiring, she would have retired gracefully, quietly, and bowed out, and went had a baby, went got married. Everything she does is lately, like, she tells us about it first.
Well, she did come back and apologize about it and said that she should have waited and done it a better way.
There was nothing in my being that made me believe that Nicki Minaj was returned. When Wayne said that he was returned, I didn't believe that shit.
I just feel like I could understand it. Like, you have to put yourself in a person's shoes like that.
I agree with everything you are saying.
And you'll grow tired of it.
Don't believe Nicki Minaj was ever returned. I just never believed that.
I'm not going to say that I believe that she's going to retire and never come back. But I do believe that she's going to take a break.
And that's fine.
And probably
most artists
a long one.
Her last break was pretty long.
I don't know.
But I don't think.
You don't
have to tell me, hey, I'm retired to go have a family. And
I think
the
family part is just a cop out. I really do. I feel like she She does want children. I do believe she wants children and she wants to get married. But I think that was just the easiest thing to say as the reason why, instead of saying the real reason why. I think her reason is wrong. I think she's lying about the reason.
What's the reason you believe?
I believe the pressure. She's tired of people coming at her. She's tired of feeling like she has to defend herself and also defend her relationship.
The funny thing about that is she don't have to.
But she's human. And at the end of the
day, she is human, but that's almost an excuse that she's using now. Like, I'm human, I feel things too. You are human, and you do feel things. I think sometimes
she stated before, everybody can't mentally handle, sometimes that's the weight on your mind. Everybody cannot mentally handle constantly being attacked.
Get a therapist.
And sometimes you have to step back and remove yourself.
Get a therapist. But Nicki Minaj been in this game for a long time, bro.
And the hate been real.
No,
now.
I think it's easier when nobody is criticizing you, when you're the only person doing female rap. It's and I'm telling you, like, I'm a huge Nicki Minaj fan. I just feel like now that you have competition and a little bit of pressure, which I don't think she has pressure. I still think that she's the best female rapper out. Not even out, probably ever.
Oh, I don't know about ever. I love Nicki, but we ain't gonna say ever.
I think ever. I think okay. Nicki Minaj.
I think she's one of the best. It may be like a top five.
If there's a top five, she's top three. And I don't even know who I would put around her as far as like...
I would definitely put Lil' Kim.
Lil' Kim cannot rap with Nicki Minaj. She can't rap.
I like Lil' Kim, so...
Lil'
just saying.
Kim cannot rap with Nicki Minaj. And that's a fact, like...
It's a Fendi fact.
I'm not going there, but I'm just saying. I just feel like when we bring it into rap, I feel like Nicki Minaj can hold her own. If not beat, like the only person I would put over Nicki Minaj is probably Queen Latifah and probably MC Light. That's it.
I think MC Light is very underrated,
and I think that. If given the opportunity, she can hold her own with MC Light. Queen Latifah probably is the GOAT, but Nicki up there. But I just believe that, going back to what I was saying, I think that now she has a little bit competition, and now when she's like, you know, the old head in the game, she can't take it. Like, so now it's all of these things where people say this about me and I gotta respond and no, you do.
No, I don't think it's necessarily the competition. I think it's the people, the fans.
Bruh.
Like, no, because I think she.
When did the fans start hating Nicki Minaj?
When they started pushing it to where it was like popular to dislike Nicki Minaj.
When Cardi B came.
Exactly. Because it was part of the agenda. No, it was an agenda.
I believe that too.
I honestly don't feel like.
How many agendas have we seen against Beyonce? They said Beyonce wasn't pregnant, dog.
But this is the thing. I don't think there ever has been a stronger one than this Nicki and Cardi thing.
I don't think so either. I think that there is a real, I believe everything she said.
To where the labels were behind it. Now that's a whole nother thing.
I believe that. But you're still thriving. And you're still Nicki Minaj. Like, so what? So what? Nicki Minaj is cracking under pressure.
She is.
When you don't have to. Like, you still... Like, not even top tier. Like, you still elite. There isn't a rapper right now besides Rhapsody who raps totally different from, like, they are complete opposites of rappers. But, like, you still an elite female rapper. Most of the people who are out right now are, like, little youths. What are you worried about?
All these bitches is my sons.
Your ass. I just think I didn't have to, you didn't need to tell me your business. I don't need to know why you're going to retire.
Again, I think that's just a cop out. But
I don't
hey.
Need you to tell me that you are retiring. Like, go have fun with your husband and make babies, and you know, when you feel like coming back at it, then come back at it. Shit. I feel like she wanted that whole reaction. I really believe that she's in a place where it's almost like little brother syndrome. Like, tell me you love me too. Like I feel like she is, like, she wants her roses down. She wants to make sure that like, her fans still love her and, like, she still has this.
I think she know that her fans are still there. I don't think she's questioning that at all.
I just feel like she's in a space where, like, she is demanding all of this love and, like, she wants all of this attention. And for somebody who claims to be happy and about to be married and so in love, like, you looking real shaky out here, baby.
Now, that whole Kenneth Petty thing, that's another subject for me, but...
Man,
okay, so...
You gotta let people love who they love.
I'm not saying anything about that. My thing is, I just sometimes wonder, is she really, really in love? That's all. That's all I was going to say. Well, I don't have anything, you know, to say about him. No, at all. It is what it is.
Yeah. What's next?
Yeah. Okay. So, Swae Lee, his ex, girlfriend, headbutted him after they got into an argument.
And she went to jail, right?
She called the police. So and I'm just like, okay. Yes. Yeah.
I'm sick and tired of women being the aggressors and they locking men up and taking men away. But I remember, like, you know, like, it used to be where if it was a dispute, they would, like, make the man go away.
Yeah.
And give the woman, like, you know, a couple of hours to get her things. And
it was very interesting to hear that she was the one that called the police, but she was the one that was taken.
That's right. Lock her ass up.
And I don't know. For the life of me, I just can't picture somebody. I mean, I can picture a guy headbutting a woman, I guess, because, you know, most of the time, the guy is bigger than the woman, and he can hold her and actually do it.
Like,
but for, like, I can't picture a female just walking up to a dude and headbutting him. But, I mean, she did it, so it happens, but, yeah. I've been trying to picture it.
You get a woman mad enough, she'll do anything.
But, you know, I mean, my thing is, I'm going to use my hands. I'm not going to use my head. I mean, not saying that I am not promoting domestic violence. I would never touch anyone.
What?
I wouldn't. I haven't put my hands on anybody.
Okay.
I haven't ever.
Okay. Yeah.
It is what it is.
Lock them up. Lock their asses up. If you hit a man or started a domestic dispute with a man, you're gonna be locked up.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that.
What else you got, psycho T?
I am not a psycho. Okay, so Trump decided to address John Legend and his wife Chrissy Teigen.
About what?
A video that went around. And Chrissy wasn't a part of it, but they were speaking on Trump and one of the subjects that he has been speaking on recently. And he at everyone that he was discussing this stuff for Chrissy, even though he called her a filthy mouth. He called her John's filthy mouth wife.
No, he didn't.
He did. So, yeah, Chrissy clapped back.
Of course she did.
And it was pretty funny. 50 even posted it and everything. So, like, it was going around. And everybody attacked 50 because they thought she was talking. He was talking about Chrissy. It was the way he worded it, though. You know, 50 word stuff. Yeah, a little funny.
So he tweet like Floyd Mayweather.
Don't do him that. 50 say he can read.
Floyd tweets be perfectly crafted. 50 tweets just be everywhere, G. But I will say that, like, I think now Donald Trump will have, like, security for the rest of his life as far as, like, Secret Service and shit.
He's going to need it.
I mean, you call my wife a filthy mouth or whatever, like, you got to see me about this shit. Like, I don't know about no tweet.
So, Chrissy, she responded and she was like, pussy ass bitch, tag everyone but me. So,
I love it.
50 posted it with the freaking t-shirt on there with Donald's tweet and Chrissy's tweet. So yeah, that's been going around. I thought that was pretty funny. But John also joined Chrissy with the tweets. And they were like, please don't make this a tweet, pussy ass bitch. Talking about Trump. So he was, you know, they were acting like they were telling people not to do it, but they were really telling people, yeah, go ahead and make this a trending topic, a hashtag.
I think the bad thing about all this is that, like, if you threaten Trump, you go to jail, right?
I mean, if you threaten him, but not necessarily.
He's a sitting president. You can't threaten the president.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you threaten him, no one has threatened him. Well, I'm pretty sure he has received threats. Now
that's what I'm saying. Like,
they didn't threaten him. They just talking about him.
Trump, gets away with a lot of, like, shit talking about, really about women, period, but just about, like, just, like, random shit. And it's almost sad that, like, he won't be able to be touched. Like, he won't be able to be, like, the old Donald Trump before being elected.
She put,
You can run up on the old Donald Trump, not this one, though.
Right. She say, but you know what? It's funny, because the old Donald Trump didn't say all the stuff he say now. I mean, he used to put, you know, little stuff out there, but now, since he got all this extra manpower, he feel he can say whatever he want and get away with it.
So you can see that, but you can't see how Tommy is a gangster for showing up at the party.
Man, look, we're not there yet.
I'm just asking.
We're not there yet.
You can see that, but you can't see how Tommy is not gangster.
He is talking about power. And again, Tommy is gangster for all six seasons. So
Donald Trump,
we're going to get back to
Donald Trump is not gangster because he has all of this security and
I didn't say he was
service.
We already know he not.
But
so
Tommy
is a gangster.
Tommy gets a security and all of a sudden he just out here showing up at dead people's funerals.
Tommy been a gangster.
Tommy's a clown.
Since he
anyway
interrupted me.
I just wanted to see if you could see that.
No, I don't.
Okay.
So Chrissy, she said, laugh out loud, what a pussy ass bitch, tagged everyone but me in honor, Mr. President. Then she came back, Luna, remember the night before your first day of school when mommy was making your sign and the pussy ass bitch president had his ninth meltdown of the day. Then her last one, it says, the absolute best part of this tweet is I literally didn't speak in the special, nor was I mentioned. I'm cackling at the pointless addition of me because he cannot be a bitch. John came and says, imagine being president of a whole country and spending your Sunday night hate watching MSNBC hoping somebody, anybody will praise you. Melania, please praise this man. He needs you. Your country needs you, Melania.
Your country needs you, Melania.
And so then he came back and he was like, "At Twitter won't let Twitter be great. I understand. President Pussy Ass Bitch is vile and absolutely should not trend. Please do not make this foul mouth hashtag trend." And he put it again. And then Chrissy came. "No, guys, no. Please do not make this trend. For it is my fight with President Pussy Ass Bitch, not yours." I love Chrissy. I like her comebacks. Like, she don't care what she say, and I love it. Yeah. So,
yeah. I fuck with the legends or the what's John Legend, real legend? Legend?
I don't know.
What do they go by?
Their like, own names, Chrissy Teigen and John Legend. Legend. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yep.
What else you got, bro?
Okay, so everyone was thinking that Diddy and Lori were over. Turns out,
about today,
they're still together. They were spotted in Mexico today. So,
come on, Diddy.
Yeah.
Then they get that young thing.
Then they were thinking, you know, that they were throwing out these little allegations that maybe she's, you know, pregnant and all this stuff like that. Because they had a photo where he was touching on her stomach, but she didn't really have a stomach or anything. So, we don't know.
Bro, I'm going to keep it all over the gym with you. I know she like, what, she like 22, 23?
I don't think she's that old. She may be, though.
Yeah, I think she's like 22. Look it up. But, Diddy is, like, that shit is creepy, bro. That shit is creepy.
I think once you get over 15 years, it's a little strange. That shit is creepy. It's a little strange.
I know some of you black people gonna say, well, Hugh Hefner did it, and blah, blah. That shit was still creepy. That shit is creepy.
Yeah, he was just too old. Like, that was just nasty. I'm just saying.
But I read something where, like, I think, like, Hugh Hefner wasn't even, like, sleeping with all those girls. I think it was just, like, one girl he was sleeping with. But either way, like, that shit is creepy.
Yeah, Lori is 22.
22. Diddy, like, 51, maybe?
I believe so.
I don't know, bro. I just don't know.
He's 49.
That's old.
It is.
That's not like old, what like grandpa old, but that's like,
that's 27 years.
Yeah, man.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Bruh.
He's old enough to be her dad.
The same way Diddy acts, making the band to recite Biggie lyrics, he ought to ask her to recite some Biggie lyrics. And I know she don't know not a damn Biggie lyric. I know she don't.
I don't know. She might.
You out your own vacation with this baby. That is a baby, man.
Yeah. She should be dating his son, like. But, hey, whatever. Son ain't got Diddy money.
Get it how you live, I guess, but that shit is wild crazy. I don't even know, like, as a father, well, I don't know who her real father is, but, like,
do you think, and I'm not going to say all men, because I don't want to say, give out that impression if that's what I'm saying, but we know Diddy has a history of dating just only young girls. Do you think?
No,
I'm saying like the later, like the how he's getting older. That's what I'm saying. Now he doesn't date anyone his age at all. Is what, you know, I'm not talking about like overall. I'm talking about now.
Okay.
He doesn't date anyone his age. Everybody that he's been linked to has been in their 20s. Everyone.
Okay.
So my question is, do you think it's control thing for him, or ego, like to see if he still got it, if he can still pull somebody up, or
I think that it's more of a status thing. I think that older rich men prefer hot young women. Like, it's more of like a trophy. Like, you know, and Lloyd is like one of the hottest in the game right now for that age group. So, you know, Trey Songz dated her. I think somebody else, she'd have been with a couple of guys.
They said Future.
Which I'm not mad at, but I just feel like when it comes to like older rich men, I feel like they do go after younger, hotter women for like just to walk around with and show off with their other rich friends, like just hot young women. I don't know. It could be a control thing. I mean, I think at some level it has to be a control thing because she's 22, bro. Like, she hasn't even, like, found herself really.
I don't know. I kind of look at it as, especially when it's that huge of an age difference, I think it is control and also, like, a molding type thing.
I don't even think that it's a control as far as, like, a Diddy hands-on, like Diddy, like actively trying to control what she does, or like.
Well, I don't think he's gonna have that option too much anyway, being that that's Steve Harvey's.
Steve Harvey, I hope, but.
Oh, okay.
I just feel like if it's not like a heavy hands-on kind of control, it's definitely like. Manipulative,
yeah, control, a little like, mind control.
Yeah, she doesn't really know a lot, so
yeah,
she probably easy to get over on. But that's assuming that, like, you know, she naive and she might be 22, but
you know, you know how everybody say that her mama, you know,
her mama was a gangster
plotting it, so you know,
her mama was a gangster.
She might be getting coached by her mom, so
facts,
we don't know,
facts. Shit is still creeping. I'm gonna end that shit on that. That shit is creeping, dog.
Okay.
What else?
Rihanna, new album coming in December.
As it should.
Everybody's been looking for it and asking for it. Well, look no further.
Not really a big Rihanna stan, but I am a fan, so I can't wait. Especially after Anti. I fuck with Anti tough.
I'm just glad all of her fans are getting it so they can stop asking her, where's the album? So, yeah, that's all I have on that.
Me too.
All right. And the last thing we have is Papa John's donating $1 million to HBCUs.
How you feel about that?
I mean, I don't know too much about the founder, but I guess I could say it's a good thing.
I feel like you can't make up your racist past with better.
And see, that's what I was thinking. I remember hearing something about, you know, things he has said or done.
Yeah.
But I wasn't sure, so that's why I was like.
I think he actually stepped down from the company. I think I saw where, like, they brought Shaq in for, like, VP or some shit, like, head or some shit. But, yeah, to me, like, that's the go-to move. Like, every time somebody white gets caught being, like, not even a racist, just get caught being dumb and stupid, like, rich white people, they always make it up by giving money to this organization or this thing. That shit is dead. That shit's old. Like, I think that, like, for HBCUs who are struggling, it's hard to turn down their money. But at some point, like, you're going to take everybody money who fuck over your people? Like, is that what we're doing?
I mean, I don't really see what more, I mean, which, you know, what exactly he could be gaining from it. I mean, you can take it, use it.
Well, who could be gaining from it?
Him.
He gains a lot from it.
What?
I think it's you know, a ploy to make him seem like he's learning more about his
But is it something to where people fall for it, or you just accept the money and just keep going?
I think people fall for it. I think we see it all the time.
That's their fault, not his.
No, but I think that we've made it like so easy for people to be forgiven when they show.
I don't think you have to forgive anything. I feel like you can take it. He's giving it as a gift. Use it. Remember what he said and keep it moving.
I don't want your fucking
money. He don't have to be rewarded for it.
But he will be.
He doesn't have
to be. I think the reward is almost like you taking the money.
No. I disagree. I'm just saying.
Hey, you can disagree.
Me taking a gift from somebody doesn't mean I'm about to go out and be like, hey, you guys, he's not racist anymore. Look what he did. I don't have to say anything. I'm just going to take it.
If you call me a nigga and you come back a year later and say, here, I just want to help you out. I know you're struggling with. I don't want your fucking money. I mean, me personally,
no. No. But if he's giving it to a school in need, they're not going to look at it that way. They are going to accept the money.
You give it to a school in need, but the people who that school serves are the same people that you use the racial term that.
But does that mean that I'm going to tell them, the students, hey, this man did this, you all should go and patronize his business and make sure you go out and do this? Or you need to put on your social media and say, hey, he did this. We don't have to do none of that.
I know we don't have to, but time and time again, we do. We forgive people who have wronged us because they donated something or came out with a sad story about, you know, the error in their ways. And I'm just over that shit, bro. Like, keep your money and stay away. Like, we know how you feel now.
So you don't believe that people can genuinely change their mind and their thoughts? I think
people can show you that they changed. But giving money ain't showing me you changed.
I mean, I can agree to that.
I think anybody can change. I think.
But I know if it was me.
I do think my money, old habits die hard, though. I don't, you know.
It was me and my money, I wouldn't be giving it. But, hey.
Hey. That's all you got? That's it? We yep. done with that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, what's next? Power segment.
Yes.
They say this is a big rich town.
You took a shot at the devil and you missed.
Sometimes the people that you trust the most can turn on you with no warning.
I'm tripping up here, bro. I'm fucked. I ain't lying. Yeah.
Look, it's been raining and everything. So, yeah. Okay.
I'm about to go home and take probably a bottle of NyQuil.
Okay. So, yeah. Power. What you think?
It was cool.
I actually really enjoyed this episode.
It was a dope episode. I think it gave me more action, and I liked the action
mm-hmm.
part in Power. The shooting, and you know, just the action part. I like the fact that Dre is back.
I do too. And I'm not even mad at Dre. Like, I'm just not mad at Dre like everybody else is. Everybody, you know, wanted to know why he killed Donovan. And honestly, I mean, I was looking at it weird until he went and said with Sax. And I also watched the after show as well. The after shows help. And a lot of people don't watch the after shows. They explain a lot of what's going on.
I think they should have got somebody other than Terrence J.
I mean, well, when Courtney was doing it, nobody wanted to listen to her. She's the one that actually, she's actually behind the show.
We was bad.
Nobody wants to listen to Courtney.
The writing was horrible.
But anywho.
Yeah. nobody wanted to see what Courtney was talking about.
So they changed it up and now they got Terrence. But the thing is, it's not just Terrence. Terrence is sitting down with the people that actually wrote each episode. So that's what's going on. So like the last one, 50 was on there. And Lorenz Tate. And who else was on there? It was somebody else. But he pretty much said that, you know, Dre was pretty much raised by Kanan. So in Dre's mind, it made sense to kill Donovan. It was about survival. And his whole thing was, and I caught when he was talking to Sax, when Sax told him, you know, if it was a leak, like somebody let them know where you were, we're going to figure out who it was. So then they clicked in my mind. That's why he killed Donovan. That made sense to me. So, like, I got it.
He thought that Donovan was the leak?
Yeah. Or he talked to somebody and told them where he was.
I just thought he killed Donovan because, I mean, why not? Like, why would you leave Donovan alive and he's someone who know you have to testify?
And somebody else I was talking to said the same thing. But 50 actually said that he was, you know, he was raised by Kanan and he's thinking on the survival mode.
I didn't think it, for one moment that a street nigga would allow for a cop to live. I laughed at what he said to him before he died, like, you the worst kind of nigga.
Yep.
So I was bothered by him shooting down up in front of his daughter, though. Like, he didn't cover our eyes or nothing.
But like they said, he's not used to, even though, you know, he has this little child, he's not really used to being a father. Like, he's used to taking care of Dre. He's not used to taking care of a child. Right.
And if for no other reason, I would have shot Donovan ass for trying to play me about my child. Holding my child, making her stop crying. No, you gotta die, dude.
Yeah, some people said there was an awkward part, too, where Donovan is sitting here telling him about how to hold a baby. So, yeah.
You dissing me about not being a good father. You for the live? Nah. Out of here.
Okay,
I guess the storyline they're going with Tariq and his new friend. And I like where they're going with that. I'm just over time, bro.
We're not about to do this. So, I want to talk about Councilman Tate and his sex scene because that was so awkward for me. I don't know why. I never looked at him as like a corny guy. But for some reason in this show, he's very corny to me. And
in this show or in that episode?
In that particular episode, mostly.
I never understood what that was about. Like,
for some reason, like, that scene did nothing for me. Like, he was weird. I felt like she was okay. It was him. I don't know what it was about him, but I don't know. It was very awkward.
People see Lorenz Tate and that Councilman Tate, so it's kind of weird.
I didn't. And usually I do look at people like that, but I didn't. I don't see Lorenz Tate when I see him. I see Councilman Tate, and that's why I can't, like, I couldn't get into it. Like, I just,
I'm glad they brought the sex scene back. The sex scenes back, because I feel like when Power first started, like, that was a part of Power. Like, it was this show where it was intimate, it was action, it was gangster shit, it was like mental games, like, it was everything.
It was an overkill at first, though. It was still in there too much.
I think they had to overkill at first because, of course, sex sales, and like they had to show that passion between Jamie and Angela. So, like, to show two people in love or who have this crazy connection, They fuck all the time.
No, my gosh.
I mean, that's real life. People who can't keep their hands off each other don't just go eat hot dogs on the street and I see you later. No, any chance we get, we go get it in. I think that the Councilman Tate and the LeChick, it just wasn't good. Like
it wasn't her. It was him.
I think the scene, period, just wasn't a good sex scene.
It wasn't her. It was him.
It was both. It was them together.
No, I think, and this is another thing. So, like, Lorenz Tate been in the game way longer than Amari. Even though Amari been in the game a long time, too. Yeah. But my thing is, when it comes to those types of scenes and when it comes to just an overall actor, I think Amari is a better actor.
What?
Yes, I do.
Amor is a better actor
than Lorenz Tate.
In those scenes, you mean?
In those scenes and in general, I think Omari is a better actor.
You are out your fucking mind.
Hey, I said what I said.
Lorenz Tate.
And I don't even like Ghost. I can't stand Ghost. But that's just the reason why I don't like Ghost is because he played the role so good.
First of all, let me just say this. We've never seen Omar Hardwick's last name?
Mm-hmm.
Hardwick?
Mm-hmm.
In a Love Jones. If he wasn't a Love Jones, he would have never killed that shit like Lorenz Tate did.
I'm not discrediting Lorenz. I'm not saying he's not a good actor.
Hardwick,
however,
acting does not even compare to Lorenz Tate.
Have you seen?
It does not compare.
Have you seen Omari outside of Power?
Yes. What was the movie he was just in where he was the bartender with the friend? I think it was like a Tyler.
That's not a good example.
Omari Hardwick don't really have no bangers like that.
That's not a good example. Okay, that's not a good example. It's not.
Lorenz Tate was
well.
Don't be a menace.
He was definitely better in the sex scenes. Well, how about that?
I agree, but I think that's because of that? Chemistry.
No, that's a married man. We're not going to say because of chemistry.
Fun.
No, we're not going to say because of chemistry. That's disrespectful to his wife.
How?
We are not going to, no.
How?
Because he was just meeting Leela. They didn't have no history. We're not going to say that.
I don't say that. He's not saying that they had chemistry.
No, they were just meeting. He was acting.
Two people can act together and have perfect chemistry. Lorenz Tate and Nia Long
okay.
had perfect chemistry
okay.
in Love Jones.
Okay, but he also had other scenes without it being Angela. He has been with Tasha. He has been with that lady, Fancy from the Jamie Foxx
show. That shit was
show.
Weird.
But he performed, period.
What I'm saying is, Tasha, not Tasha, Leela and Omari had the best sex scenes because I'm sure their chemistry was just better as two people.
This is not where I was going with this conversation. Anywho. So, anything else from Power?
I'm not sure where they're going with Tasha and this goddamn daycare. I do want Ghost to fuck this new little chick, the DNC.
Is that lady. All you think about?
I just like when Ghost is in control, and a part of Ghost being in control is knocking her down.
But that didn't work too well with the last chick, so.
Fancy?
Yes.
What you mean?
What did he get from that? Besides, what did he get from that?
He didn't get what he wanted because she thought it was going to be more, but he was like, no.
I don't remember it going that way, but hey, okay.
yeah, the whole daycare, I don't know where that's going to go with it. I love Tasha Mama. She a G.
I don't like Tasha Mama.
I'm fucking with her tough.
I don't like Tasha Mama. She's an opportunist.
I'm fucking with her tough.
Don't like her.
I think that Keisha is... I don't like Keisha, but I think I'm going to start liking Keisha. If they continue to make her, like, this growing character where she's making herself become a part of this.
She's becoming a little Tasha.
I think that can either go two ways. She's going to fuck some shit up and die.
I think she will die. And I think it's going to be either Tommy or Ghost that does it.
If Tommy killed Keisha, that shit would be epic. Because that'll be the girlfriend number two that he killed.
We already know Tommy don't care, though. Like, if he feel like he got to take you out, he taking you out.
You say that. I think Tommy cares. I just think that he's an emotional killer. Every time Tommy has...
He cares about the people, yes. But if he feels like you're a threat to who the people who he consider family are him, you're a goner.
Tommy is the biggest threat to Tommy. And that's just how I feel. I think Tommy is just an emotional wreck. At any time, he'll kill anybody.
Isn't that the whole point of actually being about that life and being in that life? Yes.
No,
yes.
It's not.
Yes.
It's
yes.
not.
Yes.
Being when, about that life don't mean you're killing anybody or you're...
But this is the thing. Most of the time, those people, they don't freaking care. And Tommy has that mindset to where he don't care. If we're going to be honest and really look at the show for what it's about and who really sets the tone for the gangster mindset, it is Tommy and not Ghost. Even though Ghost...
I think we have to look at what you call gangster.
I mean, they're both are in their own right. They both are.
If you would ask me, Tommy is a thug. Ghost is the gangster. I think that Tommy does set the bar for, like, just thug shit. Like, I don't give a fuck. I kill anybody. That's cool. That shit don't make you gangster, though. How many times have, like, Ghost saved Tommy ass? Yeah, Tommy will kill somebody for you, or he'll do this for you, but he's not smart. And he reckless.
I wouldn't say Tommy's not smart either.
Tommy is not smart.
I won't say that.
Everybody tests Tommy because they don't believe in his... and they only want him for one thing. Well, they know he's reckless and he'll do whatever you say.
He's showing y'all now he's a thinker. He can think. He can think.
I personally thought that whole ambulance shit was a bad idea. I don't know. I could be overthinking that whole thing, but I just feel like...
I feel like that's something Ghost would have done, to be honest with you.
The ambulance shit?
Yep.
Shit.
If he still had a team, yes. He's working alone, so he couldn't do it.
For me, I overthink shit. So, I'm thinking, how did you guys lose an ambulance? Did you guys not call and see who was the staff, like, in charge? Like, I don't know. It's weird to me. But I didn't get the whole... I didn't understand, like, if Alicia is this huge federal... Like, she's going through this big federal trial. Like, how do you lose somebody who's being charged in federal court like that?
Yeah.
I don't understand, like, why she had to die, like, now? Because of Jason? Like, I
wanted to know what was Ghost's plan. Like, how did he feel like he was going to get her out of there? I would have liked to see where that was going to go. Cause I didn't get it.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's obvious they're gearing up for Ghost and Tommy to eventually work together again. That's obvious. But I don't know where this season is headed. It's just so many weird spots in this season. Ghost, I mean, Tommy and Tasha in the car smoking weed. That shit was random as fuck. Like, it's just a lot of random shit.
Is it random? He's meeting up with her because he's still, you know, trying to cover things and bounce ideas off of her and stuff like that. And they don't have no other choice.
Because he's not smart enough?
No, but Ghost did the same thing with Tasha, so, hey.
When it came to, like, some ratchet street shit, like, yeah. Like, okay, but
she's still playing the part that she's been playing since season one. With both of them.
I guess.
Anyway, like I was saying.
Tasha must die.
You a hater. But, I mean, they can't meet up anywhere else. He's not even supposed to be talking to Tasha because Keisha and her feelings. And she don't want him talking to Tasha. So, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah. I want Keisha and Tasha to bump heads. Hopefully they shoot each other. Two birds and one stone. You get Tasha out of here, you get Keisha out of here.
That's stupid.
I'm fucking with that. I mean, overall, it was a cool episode. I think 50 Cent really does have like an eye for this. Like,
yeah.
I think he did a good job. I'm trying to see if I'm missing anything, but I think that's it for me. What do you want to see happen with Jordan?
I
know that's your little boo, the love of your life, all that good stuff.
Whatever. I don't know. I'm kind of interested to see where they go with Dre. I don't want Dre to die.
What?
I don't. So.
Dre has to die because nobody likes Dre. He's a rat. He's not officially a rat, but he was about to be a rat.
I don't know. I kind of want him to kill somebody, but I won't say who. But, yeah.
Ghost can't die, bro.
So.
Ghost can't die. But I'm going to end it with this. I feel like Tommy has the most retarded looking crew I've ever seen
in my fucking life.
The big black guy, the other kid, he's mad annoying. He wants to be like the wingman so bad.
He's so angry.
Yeah, like, but you calm down, like. But that's it for me. Anything else?
I think that's it.
What are we talking about?
So the topic at hand.
Okay, new topic, please.
It's a whole different topic.
It's an excellent topic.
So I don't really have like a main topic today, but I do want to say that I want to ask you a question. How do you feel about people commenting on posts or dead people's page asking what happened to said person? Do you think that the public outside of close family and friends deserve the right to know how somebody died?
I can understand the curiosity of it, but it's like, once you get that information, what are you going to do with it? Like, what does it help the situation? to know exactly how they died or why.
I saw somebody said that like it helps them grieve or it brings closure or it helps them process the death.
I can see it being a relief if they feel like the person didn't die from pain, like if they weren't murdered or something like that. So I can see that being a reason to want to know, like they want, you know, just want to make sure that nobody harmed the person. So maybe that, or maybe, you know, they're curious if the person may have had cancer and they just didn't say anything and they didn't know about it. Like, was this person dealing with something and I didn't know?
Do you feel like it's disrespectful to ask, like, what happened?
To an extent, yeah. I did see somebody that had recently lost a parent, and she pretty much was just saying that she didn't want people asking, like, you shouldn't ask people how a person passed. So, like, I understand it. I think it's just a normal reaction or question that people just ask, and I don't think they realize it may come off a little insensitive, and then it might be something that people really just don't want to talk about or bring up. I think if you have a way of, you know, just having somebody that you can talk to outside of immediate family, like you know, somebody that may be close and might know what happened, and you just be like, hey, do you know what happened?
I think, you know, that eventually you're going to know what happened regardless.
Yeah.
Eventually the word gets around. I think that people are just nosy. Not nosy like in a bad way, but just like curious and wanting to know what happened. But
sometimes it is just being nosy though.
Oh yeah, facts.
Yeah.
I think that like we got into a weird space where we believe that because of social media and like how close people are through social media, that we deserve the right to know everything about everybody who we're friends with. I also feel like people go on someone's page, like I know I do, like I read all the comments when somebody has died or passed, or even if somebody in the hospital, I read all the comments because, excuse me, maybe it's in the comments. So, I think like I side eye people who, I know y'all went through all these comments and seen that when everybody else asks what happened, nobody gets an answer. So you just comment under their comment, like, what happened?
Yeah.
Like, I also think that a family is grieving.
Mm-hmm.
So
you definitely don't go on social media on that person's page and ask them.
Like, give people a chance to like grieve their loved ones before you get to ask them what happened and just bother them. Like, and I feel like if somebody died from like a health issue or like a natural cause, normally the family will put that out there because, I mean, they had cancer or he had a heart attack or blah, blah. I think most of the time when you get a don't worry about it or just show your respects, or when they don't answer, it's because it was a tragic death or it was something bad that happened. So nobody wants that out about their loved ones while they're grieving them.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually it will come out. So just wait until it comes out instead of, you know, making a family member or a friend have to relive that every time y'all ask what happened. How did they die?
Well, I have two questions. So, do you believe people have become desensitized to death? And my other question is, do you think people seem to be upset or hurt in the moment. And then a couple of weeks later, a month later, they just seem to forget.
I think that social media has definitely created like a space where people live or grieve in a moment. I didn't know JT like that. I'm not saying that people who grieve him didn't know him or anything like that. I just think that it almost became like a thing to post or to repost. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I just think that we do grieve in the moment. Like we do make death on social media a thing in that moment. I think that's a thing to do on social media now.
And I feel like, you know, even with that situation, everybody knows, you know, who his close, you know, friends were.
But I don't think you can say that, because I think that people have different friendships and dealings with different people. So
no, I'm not saying they don't, but I'm just saying, you know, sometimes, I don't know. It's like you can look at certain things. I got to a point to where I was looking at some things and I feel like people were going as far back in the on their page as they could to find a photo that they may have taken with him. Just to
I think
post
that
it.
We just live like in a world where we grieve for notice. Like we want to be seen, and we don't want to be left out. So
right, that's my point. And
in the group of people who
has
a picture with somebody, or oh my god, I just talked to you, blah blah.
Yeah.
As far as being, I don't know. Well, I do know. I think social media has made everybody a little less just compassionate about everything. I mean, as far as death and
the outrage, the hurt, it seems like it's temporary, and then it's on to something else.
I think that is what social media does. Like, it has us looking for the next shock or the next big thing. And I'm not saying death is a big thing to be looking forward to, but I think that social media is like a highlight reel of our lives. So we always look for the next highlight.
Yeah.
And we don't really sit down to grieve and go through the grieving process. I mean, I still don't get how people could get on social media crying about grieving somebody. Like, you mean to tell me you hurt this much and you able to put a phone to your face and record? I can't do that.
I mean, I can see if they were just, you know, on there, you know, already talking, and then it hits them. But if you come on there already crying, then yeah, that's something totally different.
I can't grieve that way. I'm not saying people.
No, I'm not saying grieving on the video. I'm just saying if you're just doing a regular video and you're just talking, and then it happens to get to that point to where something, you know, makes you cry or it happens, then that it just happens.
If that happens to me,
but then
I'm
gonna get
off. Yeah,
I'm gonna get off. I'm not gonna stay on there and cry. So
I just think that we have to. Eventually, we have to get back to real life, bro. And just respect people outside of this whole Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat shit. Like, real life is still going on. People are still grieving in real life. And to get on social media and just, you know, do some of the shit we do, that shit gotta stop. I just feel like, me personally, I feel like it's wrong to ask what happened to a person when they die. If you don't know, you don't know, and eventually you'll find out. So just wait till you find out.
I just want to know what will change when you do find out. So, hey.
I don't know about change. I think that you just know how they died now, so you can, I guess, grieve in that. Like, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know what that changes, because it won't change the way I feel about you being dead.
Exactly. That's my point. So even with you finding that out, it doesn't determine if their death was supposed to happen, or like, you know, if you should be angry or at peace.
And I don't think you'll be at peace regardless until you grieve. Right. So, I don't know. That's all I got to do. I really have no main time today.
Well,
and I'm ready to get home and get some medicine in me.
Well, that is it, you guys. And we will be back
next
Wednesday.
Peace.